Would you please turn to Joshua 24? Joshua 24. And in Joshua 24, we want to take a look, a couple of verses. Just pick it up, Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay, today we're going to be talking about setting your course. Now, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you have a lot of Christians who would say the same thing. That's right, amen. But I'm not so sure about that. You'll understand as we go through this. What we have right now, what we're facing in this country, as you know, this coming November, presidential elections. As it stands right now, unless something drastic happens, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden are the two candidates for president. Now, there are always other people who get their name on the ballot, but you know what? They're not going to get elected. That's just the way it is. Never in our lifetimes, never have we had two men running against each other for president who had already served as president. We've never seen that before. Not in our lifetimes. Ever. Never. Never. Now here's what this means. We know ahead of time how each one of them will govern and the policies they will push. We already know. This is not a, well, you know, I wonder what they're going to be like when they're president. They were senator, they were congressman, they were a governor, but, you know, what are they going to be like when they're the president? We know. Okay, there's no iffiness about this. We know what they're going to do, whoever is elected. We already know. Now, let me just kind of jump ahead to the end of this and throw this out. God is on His throne, and He's looking down at this nation, especially the body of Christ, and He's saying, there are no surprises. You have before you what you know is going to happen in this nation, depending upon what you choose. And I can tell you right now, if you make the wrong choice in this election, hear me now, I'm going to say something that some people are going to argue with till they're blue in the face, but I'm telling you right now, if you make the wrong choice in this upcoming election, you are facing an eternity in hell. Do you hear me? Well, I don't believe that. Really? Well, why don't you talk to all those people who decided to worship the golden calf when they came out of Egypt? They're no longer around. Now, I could go on in that direction, but we've got too much to cover here this morning. You see, we know what's coming. Either way, we know what's coming, whoever gets elected. There will be no surprises. Nobody should be shocked. Now, on March 7, 2024, President Joe Biden delivered his State of the Union address. In it, he made very clear his intentions concerning the direction in which he plans to lead the United States. There was nothing veiled. Well, it depends on how you look at it. But there was nothing veiled. Okay, now, I'm going to show you a video. And, I'll just let the video speak for itself.
The President of the United States gave his State of the Union address, and it was major. The Republicans gave their response. This is going to be my response to the President's State of the Union address, because there were a lot of things said, a lot of things shouted, and a lot of things hidden, and there was deception. And we need to expose it. This is Jonathan Kahn, and this is where these messages and prophetic updates are going to come from. If you're not subscribed, to not miss them, hit subscribe. Now, I'm not going to get into the issue of the Ukraine, taxes, immigration, or the economy. The economy, the president basically said the economy is better than ever. And if you believe that the economy is better than ever, they have medication for that. But what I'm going to focus on is what he said that most touches on good and evil. And we're going to expose deception. Ready? Let's begin with the first clip.
Like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right.
Actually, most Americans believe there should be limits on the killing of the unborn after 3 months of pregnancy. Biden and the Democratic Party are campaigning to have it legalized up to birth, killing a baby basically up to birth. The same baby that would have been protected if it was 1 minute later can be killed 1 minute before. And babies in the womb suck their thumb way before birth. But the president and the Democratic Party, they are without question advocating that babies who suck their thumbs can be legally murdered and should be if the mother wants to murder them.
I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader defending reproductive freedom.
Reproductive freedom. Notice what's happening here. He's avoiding the A word. This is called a euphemism. He's using words and phrases to avoid saying that word that describes the killing of an unborn baby. What does that mean? It's a dead giveaway that something's being covered up. And it's a dead giveaway in this case that that something is evil, or you wouldn't have to hide it. He's replacing abortion with reproductive freedom, so he doesn't have to tell you that it's about killing babies in the womb.
Defending reproductive freedom.
Notice the words reproductive freedom. It's the exact opposite. It's not reproductive, it's anti-reproductive. It's stopping reproduction and freedom. What is that? Same strategy of calling it choice, pro-choice. Any act involves choice. To murder involves choice. To rape involves choice on the part of the rapist. The word choice has nothing uniquely to do with the act of killing an unborn baby any more than any other act. So why do they use the word choice? Because they don't want to say that which it actually is, which is to kill, to murder a child in the womb. The very fact that they use words like choice or reproductive freedom is a revelation that what they're talking about is evil and has to be covered up by words to obscure the evil. And freedom? What about the child? What about the child's freedom? What about the child's life? You're destroying the child's freedom and life under the guise of freedom. Okay, watch.
My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it.
So Biden is condemning Trump for overturning Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is the enabling of killing babies. Overturning it is to stop the enabling of killing babies and to save lives. And they estimate that that overturning has saved tens of thousands of lives. But Biden is seeking to shame Trump.
He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it.
He's speaking as if it's an offense. How dare he? He brags about it as if it's an abomination to save the lives of children. If you're saying that Donald Trump was responsible for it, then you just gave anyone who takes God seriously, who seeks to be a true Christian, a reason to go to the voting polls. Now, I don't believe we've ever seen a president of the United States so brazen in championing the murder of the innocent. How brazen can you get? And for someone who says that they're a Catholic and claims to be a Christian to rail for the killing of the unborn, whom the Bible says are made in the image of God. Watch this.
Joining us tonight is Kate Cox, a wife and mother from Dallas. She's become pregnant again and had a fetus of a fatal condition. Her doctor told Kate that her own life and her ability to have children in the future were at risk if she didn't act.
Notice the words, had a fetus, not a child. That's another thing that's used by those who are for the terminating of babies. Fetus. Now, it has always been in the past when a woman was pregnant, it said she is with child. But now the word child is removed. The word child is removed from the language so that the actual child can be removed from the womb. Fetus. Why use it? Because it's a Greek word, and so it's Greek to those who hear it. It's foreign. The idea is to make the child foreign, alien, not human. If you can dehumanize someone, if you can take away their humanity, you can take away their life. And that's exactly what the president is doing here. That's what the Democratic Party has been doing. That's what America has been doing. Fetus in Greek actually means offspring or childbirth, childbirth. But you wouldn't know it because it's in Greek. It's behind the mask. Notice what else the president says. Had a fatal condition. So here the president is saying the baby had a fatal condition. So what do? You kill it. How do you solve a fatal condition? You kill the one with a fatal condition. So you can see where this is going. The act of killing unborn children is a fatal condition. So if you're against fatal conditions, you have to be against abortion. Life is a fatal condition. It leads to death. Does that mean you can kill a human being? If you can kill those with fatal conditions, then a lot of people can be killed. Watch.
Because Texas law banned her ability to act, Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed. What her family got through should have never happened as well, but it's happening to too many others.
Okay, the president said they had to leave the state. This should never have happened. Well, there are worse things in the world than having to travel. Many people travel for medical treatments across the entire country. There are things that are worse, like getting murdered in your mother's womb. That's a little worse than having to take a trip. But the president's entire case is deceptive because most abortions have nothing to do with this. And the president isn't advocating a policy that's only about children with fatal conditions. Most pro-life laws make exceptions in the case when it involves the life of the mother. He's advocating for the ability to kill any and all children simply because the parent wants to kill them. The overwhelming majority of the 60 million plus children who have been murdered in America were murdered because their parents wanted to. And that is what the president is advocating for. And notice what else he said.
Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed.
Notice again, he won't say it. He won't say what it is. He speaks around it. She's getting something. What is she getting? A present? She's getting what she needed. Again, he won't say the A word or speak of the killing of the child. It has to be covered up with euphemisms because evil has to cover itself. Watch this.
There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need.
There it is again. He can't stop. Freedom to choose. To choose what? To choose to go to the circus, to bake cookies. When does English stop after the word choose without saying what you're choosing? Again, it reveals the evil of this act. And again, he won't say the word, but he'll say to get the treatment they need. The treatment they need. The definition of medical treatment is the management or care given to a patient to combat disease or disorder. So the treatment here is to combat a disease or disorder. What's the disease? What's the disorder that has to be combated by this treatment? The baby. Watch.
Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom.
No, it's not a ban on reproductive freedom. It's a ban on reproductive termination by murder. By twisting this act into a positive thing, he and they twist those who oppose murder as if they are stopping something positive. They're banning freedom. If it's a ban, it's a ban of the banning of life. It's a double negative, which is a positive, which every law against murder is. So let's translate it. It's a law that prevents people from killing babies.
My God, what freedom else would you take away?
What other freedom? Well, it's not a freedom, but if you want to call it that, then what are the freedoms? The freedom to rape would be one, the freedom to inflict violence, the freedom to steal. But this is the same president and party that is for the taking away even of the freedom to speak and freedom of conscience. That is, if you say words or express thoughts that are not acceptable in the realm of wokedom, you can be silenced or fined. This is the same administration that's putting old women on trial for protesting the killing of the unborn outside the clinics in which they were killed, with a possible punishment of 11 years in prison. Freedom. It's the same administration that had over 20 police, FBI, DOG, agents raid the house of a pro-life father with guns pointed to take him away in front of his wife and children. Freedom. This is the same administration and party that has sought to force doctors to mutilate children in gender transitioning against their conscience. The same party that sought to force nuns to fund the killing of children against their faith. The same president that signs a bill to force everybody to bow down before same-sex marriage against their conscience. And the same party that has passed laws in America mandating that if a parent does not go along with a hormonal or surgical transitioning of their child to appear as the opposite sex, the government will take the child away from the parent. Freedom. Let's see that again.
My God, what freedom else would you take away?
He says, my God. Mr. President, don't bring the name of God into what you're doing. Don't take the name of God in vain. Worse than that, do not take the name of God as a means of implementing an agenda that wars against the very ways and word of God, and in the words of God, is an abomination. I don't know what God you can call my God when seeking the death of children. But the name Baal comes to mind, and the name Moloch. Watch.
Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral or political power.
Okay, now he's rebuking and shaming the Supreme Court. Women have electoral political power. What does that mean? They're going to vote the justices out of office? Mr. President, do you realize that you cannot vote Supreme Court justices out of office? Watch this.
You're about to realize just how much you get right about that. Clearly. Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women.
The Supreme Court is going to find out how right it was? Having no clue about the power of women, what does that mean? Are all women for this act, for abortion? It's the dividing of people into classes and special groups pitted against each other that the left does. Mr. President, do you realize that many women are pro-life? And do you realize that the deciding vote that overturned Roe v. Wade was cast by the last justice to come on the bench at that time, and her name was Amy Barrett, and that Amy Barrett is actually a woman? That was the power of women, and she cast her vote. This is not a male or female issue. It's a human issue. Who do you think half of the children who are killed in this act are? They're female. They're little girls, little women. It's not anti-women for women to have children or to have women children. It is anti-women to kill female girl babies in the womb. Over 60 million children were killed in the womb, and half of them, over 30 million of them, were female. Forget about their political power. They're not voting because they're dead. And those women in Congress who cheered these words, none of them would be alive today if their mothers felt the same way. Their lives would have been snuffed out years ago. In fact, Mr. President, if your mother felt that way, you wouldn't be here to make this speech and rail for this act. Your life would have been killed. Watch.
If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
What was that? Let's play that again.
If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
Okay, if the American people vote an anti-life Congress, you, the president, will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land. Mr. President, do you realize that Roe v. Wade is not a law that you can vote or unvote in Congress? It's a Supreme Court decision. You can't vote away a Supreme Court decision. You railed against Trump and his followers for not accepting the outcome of the election and wanting to overturn it when things didn't go their way. But now you want to overturn a Supreme Court decision that didn't go your way. Watch this.
Folks, America cannot go back. I'm here tonight to show what I believe is the way forward, because I know how far we've come.
America cannot go back. They have to move forward with the president. Actually, the word in Hebrew for repentance, shuv, means to go back, to return. He says, I'm here to show the way forward. Well, Mr. President, I have a question about that, about the way forward. What is the way forward for the over 60 million Americans who were killed in the practice that you are now railing must continue and expand? What about those millions of Americans, the oldest of whom would now be about 54 years old? Could be grandparents. The youngest are being killed right now. What about them? What is their way forward? They don't have one. Because you and those who have advocated this saw to it that they could be killed before their birth. How do they have any less right to live than we did? Now, the president spoke about something else. Watch.
History is watching another assault on freedom. Joining us tonight is Latoya Beasley, a social worker from Birmingham, Alabama. 14 months ago, she and her husband welcomed a baby girl thanks to the miracle of IVF. She scheduled treatments to have that second child, but the Alabama Supreme Court shut down IVF treatments across the state, unleashed by a Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. She was told her dream would have to wait. What her family had got through should never have happened. Unless Congress acts, it could happen again.
Okay, he said the miracle of IVF, that's in vitro fertilization. And he calls it a miracle. So it's a miracle to have fertilization, conception. But we should be able to kill that miracle. The same president who rails and rails for the ability to kill unborn children now suddenly speaks as if he and his party are champions of life. And those evil conservatives or Republicans or Christians are against life. Christians are for life. And most Christians in America do not have a problem with fertilization treatments, as long as they don't violate God's word. What's the issue that he's talking about that many Christians don't fully understand? In vitro fertilization speaks of fertilizing an egg outside the womb. If it involves one egg, that's one thing. But the problem is that doctors often want to increase their chances by having several eggs getting fertilized. If life begins at conception, as it does, then what happens to those other fertilized eggs? Those eggs are then either frozen, perhaps permanently, or die frozen, or are disposed of. Then you've ended a human life. That's the problem that the president would not talk about. Again, it's about destroying human life. Now, they talked about this on The View. And one of the ladies reprimanded the other by saying, it's not human life, it's not viable. Okay, first, there's no argument that it's not life. It clearly is life. There's no argument that it's not human. It's clearly human. It's nothing else. So it's human life. But the argument of, quote, viability is a totally artificial, made-up, arbitrary, fraudulent argument. What it says is, if the baby can't survive on its own outside the womb, then you can kill it. What is that? If the baby would die after you ripped it out of his mother's womb, you can kill the baby. The baby is going to live unless you kill it. And so now, those who can't survive on their own, you can kill them? That's a lot of people. Babies who are born are inviable on their own. When is your child viable? When he or she gets a job. The sick, the weak, and many old people are inviable. They can't live on their own. So now you can kill them? You can see where this is all going. It's like saying if I throw an old crippled person overboard into the water and they can't swim, they drown, then they deserved to drown anyway. There's only one point that's not arbitrary as to human life beginning, and that is and always will be conception. The president then goes on to something else.
And stop. Stop denying another core value of America, our diversity across American life. Banning books, it's wrong.
Okay, stop denying another core value of America. Book banning is wrong. Book banning, what is he talking about? Not about books being banned from existing, but for children in school or libraries not to be exposed to that which is inappropriate for children, which has always been part of America and parenthood. The books that parents are telling schools not to expose their children to are basically pornographic, with text and illustrations on how to perform boy-on-boy sex, some advocate man-on-boy sex, in the public school system. Now, I'm going to show you a little example. We're blurring this because we don't want to reproduce it, but this is actual material being given to your children by the public school system. So the president is saying it's a core value of America to give pornographic books advocating alternate sexuality to your children? You mean George Washington or the Puritans would have been in favor of doing that? The truth is, it's actually an American core value to ban pornography from children. It has been the rule up until now. And here is the president whose people ban not pornography for children, but books like Dr. Seuss, Mark Twain, and the Bible. And whose people ban those who say marriage is between a man and a woman. That they have banned. But pornography for children? No. They've deplatformed those people, fired them, persecuted them. Good seeks to ban what is evil. Evil seeks to ban that which is good. So you have one side seeking to ban life, the other side seeking to ban murder. So which one is good? Which one is evil? You have one side seeking to ban things like speech and conscience that have always been a part of American life, like saying it's wrong to kill unborn babies or that there are two genders, male and female. You have the other side that seeks to protect its children from that which has never been inflicted upon American children before, like pornography. Which is right, which is wrong? Watch.
Instead of erasing history, let's make history.
Okay, I didn't know that pornographic man-on-boy sex was now our history. Watch.
I want to protect fundamental rights. Pass the Equality Act.
Okay, stop right there. What is that which Biden is telling the Congress to pass? The so-called Equality Act. Sounds nice. Another euphemism. What does it do? It alters the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include gender identity, sexual orientation, and more. So that it means that every distinction of gender will be wiped out of federal law. It nullifies the Religious Freedom Restoration Act so that Christian ministries will be forced to violate the Bible or be shut down. Christian adoption agencies will have to shut down. Christian businesses will be forced to violate the Word of God or be shut down. Possibly Christian schools and colleges. Women's sports, kiss that goodbye. And it also calls pregnancy a medical condition that must be treated, as in ending the child's life. So Christian doctors will be forced to perform this act. The transitioning and mutilation of children, it may even lead to the direct funding of the killing of babies by every American by our tax dollars. It is a danger. It's as dangerous as any law that has ever been proposed in America. That is what President Biden is advocating for in the name of freedom. Watch.
And my message to transgender Americans, I have your back. Pass the PRO Act for workers' rights.
Okay, Biden has a message for transgender people. He says, I have your back. And then he goes to say, pass the PRO Act for workers' rights. Wow, that was quick. Biden has said that transgenderism is the civil rights issue of our time. And then he quickly blurts out one sentence, I have your back, and then quickly moves on. Why? Because his pollsters told him that this is not popular with most Americans. Most Americans don't want their children to be transitioned or their children's schools to indoctrinate their children into transgenderism and hide it from the parents. So he gave it one quick sentence to keep his transgender support. But make no mistake about it, his agenda would be exactly that. To mutilate thousands of American children for the rest of their lives, just as he advocates the killing of millions of American children. You see, it's becoming dangerous to be a child in America. One last thing before I bring it home. It's not what was said, it was what was shown. I want you to see it. Look again. And look one more time. These were the president's most vocal supporters, cheering him on, all dressed in white. What was that about? Is it a cult? Is it a Joe Biden cult? Or a new Joe Biden dress code? White. Why? These were women of the Democratic Party dressed in white to appear like the women suffragettes of the early 20th century. They were wearing white, though, for one reason, because Roe v. Wade was overturned. They were wearing white to advocate for the killing of babies. It has to be their main thing because it determined their entire dress code. They didn't wear a different color because of a different issue, except there were a few Congress people, I don't know from which party, that had blue pins on for the hostages of Israel held by Hamas. I saw maybe six of them. But white, that was all over the House, all over the Congress, white. They changed their dress, their garments, for the sake of their passion for the right to kill babies. But women of Congress, why are you wearing white to advocate for the killing of babies? Not for purity, it's not for holiness, but for killing babies. But what does white have to do with it? I mean, the operating table could be white, but that's not because of abortion. The doctor might be wearing white or blue, that's not because of the act. Killing babies does not produce white. It produces another color, red. It produces red as in the blood of the baby you killed. You need to change that. Truth in advertising. If you want to wear the color of the act of abortion, wear blood red, crimson, something that matches up with what you're actually advocating. Red, scarlet. And it also works because it's the color of sin in the Bible. So you get with one stone to kill two birds and one baby at the same time. The Bible says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Well, we're there. This is the American government, and this was an election speech. Elections do matter. The lives of multitudes depend on it, even the future of a generation. America is in trouble. The nation founded to be a city on a hill has fallen so far that it can't even distinguish good from evil and evil from good. It advocates evil as good and condemns good as evil. And that was all evident in the president's State of the Union address. What is the State of the Union? The State of the Union is in danger of judgment. God takes the blood of children very seriously. And those nations and cultures that take the blood of its children, of its innocent, will be judged. Is it possible that even what happened to our country in COVID was in some way connected to all this, down to even the exact days? I'm going to share that. I'm going to share that mystery on an upcoming message on this site. And I begin speaking of it in the book called The Josiah Manifesto. But for those on the other side, listen, it's really simple. It couldn't be more simple. To kill a baby is wrong. No matter where the baby is, outside the womb, inside the womb, no matter where. None of us, when we were vulnerable inside the womb, would have wanted anyone to have been given the go-ahead to tear our bodies apart. None of us, while sucking our thumbs in the womb, would have wanted anyone to drench us with chemicals to burn us alive. How could that ever be right? Now a word to Biden. Mr. President, I know you gave this speech because of an upcoming election, but more important than an upcoming election is an upcoming eternity, an upcoming judgment, an eternity with God or without Him, heaven or hell. And Mr. President, you're closer to eternity than most Americans, and you will stand before God. And it's a dangerous thing to stand before God with blood on your hands. We're all going to stand before God in judgment. And if we endorse the killing of children or their mutilation, then we have blood on our hands. And if we sit by and do nothing while multitudes of the innocent are slaughtered, not even to vote or pray, then we have blood on our hands. The only thing that can save America is God and turning from our sins and turning to God. Only that, only revival can save America. We have to pray for that as never before. And we have to spread the gospel of salvation with all our hearts while we have yet time. And as for you who have had this procedure or been involved in this sin, yes, it's a grievous sin. But God is the God of mercy and love, and His arms are still open to you. I spoke of the color of sin and the color of this particular sin as scarlet. But the Bible says also, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. God will forgive you and wash you of all this, even this, and make you truly as white as snow. Don't be judged. Be saved. Come to Him who said, you must be born again, and you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Come to Me, He said, and I will receive you. No matter who is president, there's only one King. And He doesn't fade away as everything else does. It's Jesus. It's Yeshua. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the only hope for America, and the only hope for you and for all of us. come to Him. Come back to Him. His arms are open. Now, if you haven't already, make sure that you don't miss these prophetic updates and special messages. Make sure you hit subscribe. Until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Shalom.
That's pretty amazing, huh? And what's so sad is that there are Christians who would oppose what I've just shown. And based on what I've experienced in the past, some of them who claim to be washed in that blood of Jesus, who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who would have lifted their hands to worship Him, would have walked out of this room while this was playing. Why? Because they're not as saved as they think they are. Oh, you may have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but can two walk together except they be agreed? And I don't care what you say or who you think you are not walking with God if you are in agreement with this liberal agenda. And you need to be very concerned, because just as he mentioned on that video, where is all this headed? When they talk about when there's a fatal condition, that it's okay. Okay, you know what? If this continues in that direction, you had better hope you do not have a diagnosed fatal condition. Because you could be the person, the next one they kill. Too many people think, well, that could never happen. Really? You need to dig your head out of the sand and see what's going on. Those video clips, those were just very short snippets of that the president's speech, the State of the Union. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what I saw as he was speaking in all those different clips. I saw a man shaking his fist in the face of God. I saw a man challenging God. I saw a man poking God in the eye and daring God to act. That's what I saw. Now, you just don't do that. Because you know what? In the Old Testament, there were pagan kings who did the same thing. And it wasn't long before the judgment of God fell. Part of the problem we have here is that Christians were instrumental in seeing to it that Joe Biden was elected. Because if the body of Christ had voted along with the standards of God's Word, he would never have been elected. Never. Would have never happened. It's one thing for me to hear lost people, and that includes liberals, politicians, Democrats, talk about, well, what we've just heard and be in favor of it. But when I hear Christians speak in favor of it, I have to rely on the life of God in me to not want to get violent with those people. Because as far as I'm concerned, in the flesh, they need to be locked up, whooped, something. Because you cannot profess Jesus Christ to the world and say you're a witness for Him and then turn around and approve of the murder of those who have been created in the image of God. You can't do it. Some people might say, well, Brother Jim, aren't you worried about offending people? No. Because Jesus himself said that the gospel would be an offense. Part of the gospel is the sanctity of life. Part of the gospel is the standard of God's word. Now here we are, as I mentioned beforehand. We have a presidential election coming up, the likes of which none of us have ever seen in our lives. Never. Two men on the ballot who not only have run for president before, but both of them have served as the president. We've never seen this. So therefore, we know, as I shared earlier, we know exactly what they're going to do. In fact, we just heard a speech where the current president, President Biden, has publicly declared that he is going to do everything he can to stir up the wrath of God and destroy this nation. But that's not how he sees it. He is absolutely deceived and believes that what he's doing is a good thing. And the Bible warns about that. Warns about those who call good evil and evil good. But yet Jesus even prophesied about this. He said that we would be hated because of his name. We would be hated because of our stand for him. So now here we are. We're faced with this situation. And one of the biggest challenges and biggest problems that we face, and that is how people are looking at what they see and not at what they hear. Now I'll explain. There are Christians. Well, no Christian has ever come to me and said this, but based on my experience, reading things, etc. and so forth, social media, there are Christians who are extremely anti-Donald Trump because, well, they say he's too abrasive. Well, I understand where you're coming from on that. And they say, well, he shouldn't talk about people the way he does. Well, okay, I understand where you're coming from on that one too. Well, he just mean at times and on and on. On and on. Well, you know what? You're going to have to get past that. I didn't say you have to like it. I said you have to get past it. And you have to take all of that and put it on a shelf for the time being. All of it. All of it. Then you have President Joe Biden. And all these criticisms about his age. Well, you know what? There is a fellow in the Bible was 80 years old. And he said, I'm as good now as I was 40 years ago. Give me that mountain. Give it to me. I'm taking it. That's mine. And I remember him getting approval. And you know what? He took it. That was that fellow in the Bible. I was Caleb. That, you know what? How would you like it if you, when you're 82... How would you like it if people hammered you like that because of your age? No. Stop it. You hear me? Stop it. Stop fussing about his age. Hear me now. Well, I could go off on a sermon on this one. The more you bellyache and complain about that man's age, you're speaking a curse over your own life. Because what you're saying is 82 years old is now non-viable. So you better bless God, stop it. Are you angry? I'm angry at the body of Christ for what I've seen coming out of the mouths of Christians. That's what angers me. Because when people profess Jesus Christ, the love of God, the grace of God, but they don't extend it, they're hypocrites. Hypocrites. And some of you in this room, you qualify for that. Now, it's wrong. And along with that, well, you know, Joe Biden, his mind's not working right. His mind, you know, senile and all. They say, oh, you know what? You need to take all this about Joe Biden, all of it, and put it on the shelf right next to all that stuff about Donald Trump that you don't like. Put it all on the shelf. Stop focusing on the age. Stop focusing on what you believe is mental incapacity. Stop focusing on the berating, the verbal berating. Stop all that. Stop. Just stop focusing on that. Here's what you need to focus on. In this election, hear me out now. Here's what you need to focus on. On these two candidates, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, where do they stand on abortion? Where do they stand on the murder of unborn children? Where do they stand on it? What's their position? Well, we know what happened when Donald Trump was president, and we know what his position was then, and we obviously know where Joe Biden stands. Where do you stand? Where do you stand on abortion? And are you in agreement with the candidate who has a biblical position on abortion? Where do you stand? You also need to focus on where each person stands concerning the behavior and lifestyles God absolutely forbids and calls an abomination. Where do they stand on that? Well, we've heard a speech, but where do the candidates stand on that? And all of this, make the perversions legal all the way down. Do you understand? Now, you probably don't, or some of you may not. There is a move right now. Right now, there's a move to legalize open, immoral behavior between adult men and little boys. That's happening right now. But the liberals are burying it until they feel they've got enough ground support to bring it forth. Love is love, right? Making it possible, now hear me, for adults to marry young children. Yeah, this is going on right now. Well, I haven't heard about it. Well, I don't know how to respond to that one. And it's not like I search for these things. They just show up. I don't know what else to tell you. The only thing I can say is maybe it's God bringing them to my attention, because here I am in this position with the pulpit to let you know. So where do these two men, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, where do they stand on those behaviors and those lifestyles? Where do they stand? Where do you stand? If you are in agreement with God's word, then you know how you're going to vote. What else? When it comes to Donald Trump and Joe Biden, where does each man stand concerning God, Jesus, the Bible, Christianity, and support for biblical values? Where does each one stand on that? Now, it's obvious. I mean, it should be obvious to you. When Donald Trump was the president, what a relief it was to hear a president talk about Jesus and not be afraid to say the name of Jesus. To talk about Christmas, it's about the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Savior. You say, well, I don't think he's a Christian. You know what? What if he's not really born again? What if he's not? He still stood up and talked about Jesus. He still supported the Bible. He still supported Christian standards. He still supported the Ten Commandments. I mean, on and on it goes. So now, between these two candidates, where do they stand on God, Jesus, the Bible, Christianity, and support for biblical values? But better yet, where do you stand? Where do you stand on this? What else? For these two candidates, where do they stand on Israel and the Jewish people?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where do they stand?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll be quite honest with you. It's been kind of hard for me to figure out exactly where Joe Biden stands. I mean, it's kind of like he vacillates between... I really don't know. I'm not really sure. But I tell you what, I know this, Donald Trump is in support of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. That man, he relocated our embassy from, it was in Tel Aviv, right? And he relocated it to Jerusalem. Boy, it made people mad. Oh my goodness, it made people so mad, especially the Muslims. It made people so mad. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? The big deal is because people hate Israel And by moving our embassy to Jerusalem, it basically was Donald Trump, our president at that time, saying, this nation stands with the nation of God. Do you realize Israel is the only nation in history where God has established its borders? It's in the Bible, right there. And before you start all this, well, you know, Gaza and the Palestinians and all, you know, there needs to be like dual existence. So, you know, you need to get in the Bible and figure out what's going on because you're blind. I mean, you're dumb fool blind. You need to get in the Bible and find out where God stands on this. God's the one that established the borders of Israel. It wasn't some post-World War II decision by a bunch of political leaders. I mean, you know, I thought about that. Here they are. Well, the war is over. You know what? We can give the Jews their country back. Now let's see. Where should we establish their borders? Hey, why don't you read in the Bible? The borders are already there. This is not confusing. And so then those political leaders, the presidents and all the others, they're patting each other on the back. We've done a good thing. And God's in heaven. He's just laughing. You say, you just don't get it, do you? When it comes down to these two candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, where do they stand on abortion? Where do they stand on behavior and lifestyles that God forbids and calls abominations? Where do they stand concerning God, Jesus, the Bible, Christianity, and support for biblical values? And where do they stand on Israel and the Jews? You know what? If you get those areas right, all the other stuff falls into order. Yeah, but, the economy and the immigration and the... Hold on. Do you realize the economy and immigration is... If you look at it from a biblical perspective, the economy, the immigration, all that kind of stuff, it all falls far behind the areas I've just identified. Because, see, if you get those areas I've just identified in order in your government, all the other things are going to line up. It's not a confusing issue here. So now having a general knowledge of what's going to take place, depending upon who is elected, who do you want setting the policies? Who? Who do you want establishing law? Who do you want presiding over our nation? And another thing to consider is this. Who do you want controlling your children? Because that's what's happening. Hey, you may not be aware of it, but there are incidents. This is public knowledge now. This isn't hidden. But they tried to hide it, but it came to light. Where the government has gone into the homes of parents who didn't want their kids transitioned, and they have taken those children out of those homes and taken them to secret hideaways in other states in this country. And at first wouldn't tell the parents where the kids were. This is happening now, and it's only happening because of the people who got elected and are, quote, running this country. That's the only reason it's taking place. You say, well, we're just a small group of people. Well, it was a small group of people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they made a difference. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's say that you have two bosses. One of them is stern, no nonsense, rarely smiles. One of those, get the job done. Very demanding, but fair. You ever watch that show, NCIS? You know, it's got, what's his name, Mark Harmon? What's the part he plays? Jethro Gibbs. And then you had the other fellow there, Tony DiNozzo. Remember how, if you ever seen that show, you see how Gibbs, bap, gives DiNozzo a slap in the back of the head? But Gibbs was always fair. Now, let's say you have a boss like that, but yet he does say thank you. Even though he says it with a, semi-frown, doesn't smile. And when it's proper and earned and when it's due, you know, he'll give you a raise. He'll give you a bonus. But there's no fanfare. I mean, he just, you know, he's not the kind of person that's probably going to be inviting you to his birthday parties. But then you have another boss. And I mean this boss, man or woman, either one. I mean, man, this boss smiles every day, shows up, smile ear to ear, sometimes brings in donuts and bagels and coffee for everybody. Very friendly. Everybody loves him. He demonstrates tremendous concern for the staff and their families. And, you know, if there's a need that comes up, you know, go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead. Take the rest of the day off. You know, go help your kid. I mean, whatever the case would be. I mean, just endears himself to everybody. But it's like he's always got a reason for not giving the raise or the bonus. And, you know, you see, you don't understand the reasons because they don't seem to make sense. But, you know, you kind of go along with it. I mean, after all, he's such a nice guy. But at the same time, every now and then, you catch him in a lie. But, you know, you kind of overlook it because, why, everybody loves, he's such a nice guy. But when it comes right down to it, who do you want as your boss? Who do you want as your boss? I'll tell you who I want. I want the person that's going to look me in the eye and say, get the job. I worked for a guy like that once. I mean, he was tough and he was stern, but he was fair. He absolutely was fair. And I liked the guy, even though I knew, you know, you just don't make him mad. Just don't. He wasn't a Christian, all right? Don't make him mad. Stuff would come out of his mouth. You know what I'm talking about. I want boss number one. I don't want somebody who's going to act like they're giving me everything I want, whether I deserve it or not. I want somebody who's going to look me in the eye and say, you want a promotion? Do your job. You want the pay? Do your job. You want a raise? Do the job. You want the bonus? Do the job. Earn it. I want a boss who's going to be like that, even though at times I may feel like just poking him in the nose. But I want that kind of a boss. What we're faced with in this country is an election. I'm telling you right now, it's as though God, I kind of mentioned this before, God is on the throne and he's looking and he's saying, all right, you've had 8 years divided in two. You've had 4 years with one and 4 years with the other. And you know what's going to happen. There's no question about this. You know what is going to happen. Now you call yourself my child. You say you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and yeah, I mean, I see your name here in the book of life, but I've got a question for you. Do you want your name to stay there? Who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to bow your knee to? Me or the flesh? I'm telling you right now, that's what's going on. And God is looking over this nation. And he's taking a hard look at the hearts and minds of believers. What I said earlier, if you vote the wrong way, you're facing a possible eternity in a lake of fire. I mean that. I mean it as much as I'm saying. Because God warns you cannot stand in agreement with evil and serve me and be mine. You can't. You absolutely can't. Yeah, this is serious. And it bothers me. Whatever anger or disturbedness you sense from me, it's not about the liberals and it's not about President Biden or the liberal politicians. No, it's about the body of Christ that knows, should know better. And honestly, if you've got a Bible, you do know better. You just haven't read it. You know, it's amazing how many times you hear people talk about constitutional rights. Well, have you ever heard people talk about biblical standards? Listen, biblical standards supersede constitutional rights. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. If Congress passes an amendment to the Constitution that makes abortion a guaranteed right, the biblical standard supersedes that. Whatever happened to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? That's a part of what we're supposed to be living by. If you are really angry with me about what I'm saying so far, well, you need to find out from God why you're angry about it. Because, folks, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the reason, you know, a lot of people would say, well, this message, I mean, shouldn't you have waited till like October? Well, maybe, but we already know now who's going to be running. They haven't even had the conventions yet. We know. And unless something drastic happens, we already know. It's not a secret. We've got plenty of time to be on our knees and praying, seeking God about this, declaring God's word and truth. Now, there's more that I need to cover on this, but I'll do it tonight. This tonight will be part two. But again, the title of this is Setting Our Course. We set the course of our nation on how we vote. You say, well, I thought of how we pray. How many Christians prayed for the election to go differently last time around? You see what I'm saying? We pray for people to submit their hearts and minds to God so that when they vote in accordance with the Word of God. Well, we'll pick this up tonight. We won't be re-showing the video, but we'll just briefly recap from this morning and continue on. But for right now, go ahead and stand.